Justin.
Contact SBA at 1-800-659-2955 or online at sba.gov. That's 1-800-659-2955 or online at sba.gov.
You can register by calling FEMA 1-800-621-3362 or by going online to disasterassistance.gov. That's 1-800-621-3362 or on disasterassistance.gov.
This is a public service announcement by WBAI in New York.
Hello, listeners and supporters. I'm Kathy Davis, the Public Affairs Director for WBAI Radio, with an audio note. We are working hard at completing your pledges and sending out your premium gifts. We remind you that in order to facilitate this process, we are now adding the shipping and handling costs to each pledge. We trust and hope that you will understand and support our need to cover these costs in order to facilitate a more efficient and successful process of fulfillment. All of us thank you for your continued support of WBAI Radio, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org.
Marhaba, this is Barbara Nimri Aziz of Radio Tahrir on WBAI, and I want to tell you about the WBAI Buddy System. 33 cents. Not much, is it? But did you know that as little as 33 cents a day can help WBAI stay on the air? Yes, that's all it takes. And that adds up to only $10 a month. And you can be a WBAI buddy. Someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit, debit card, or by electronic funds transfer from your bank account. Safe, secure, and easy, and you know, WBAI.org, and thanks for your support.
And thank you for listening. This is WBAI in New York, and this is our February fun drive, and we have some new tricks and some new special incentives for you this evening, and you'll be hearing a lot about many other things during this marathon. And I'd like you to make a note of a number so that you can maintain the flagship status of Earthwatch in this time period and obtain something that I think is really in the spirit. It is the essence of Earthwatch in a way. We're offering for you tonight, for a pledge of $100, the new film called Surviving Progress, which is a real tour de force of analytic philosophy, economic analysis, and cerebral inference, and really a way of looking at who we are, why we act the way we do, and how we might survive that. So please stay tuned for that and more coming up on this our first fundraising edition of Earthwatch. And I'd like to begin by thanking everyone for all of the support, both spiritual and financial, that you have provided over recent weeks and months. And I'll be back with more details about all of that right after the introduction.
Freedom still rings. The bell for freedom still rings. Sorrow to me, but does it ring to know the bell of freedom still rings? The hammer for justice still pounds. justice still pounds. Heavy is the beating sound of the hammer for justice that pounds. When will the world stop and listen? Stop and see. When will we feel what we've been missing? That the man in the moon must have found. 'Cause he looks upon us with a frown. To know that millions of babies still starve. Millions of babies still starve. We can't have the biggest heart if millions of babies still starve. And the innocent ones still die. The innocent ones still die. We can't value life too high if the innocent ones still die. When will the world stop and listen? When will we all stop and see? He looks upon us with a frown. Light of truth we won't let shine. Light of truth we won't let shine. Tell me, has the world gone blind? Light of truth we won't let shine. As long as there's life, there's still a day. There's life, there's still a day. And I know that we can find our way. For as long as there's life, there's still a day.
Well, greetings and welcome to Earth Watch. My name is Robert Knight and you're tuned to WBAI in New York. And we have a very special offering for you today on this beginning of the new style marathon here at WBAI. For those of you who have not been following developments here, the station is moving from Wall Street to an office location not too far away from where we are presently at 120 Wall Street. And we will soon be broadcasting from the studios of WHCR at the City College, CCNY, and moving on up to the west side. And accordingly, because the completion of our move is scheduled before the end of the month, and because our marathon is scheduled to last through the month of February, we have retired to alternate means of having you fulfill your commitment to being able to listen to WBAI. Annual subscription rate as a WBAI buddy, I think, is about $100 a year, which comes out to about one penny per hour of programming, which you guarantee with your support. And tonight, we're asking you to be a BAI buddy, and we're asking you to call and get this wonderful film. Anyone who knows the ethos of Earthwatch apprehends that whether we're speaking about politics, music, fun, or catastrophe, that we seek the common threads that weave us together. And sometimes it's geographical, sometimes it's political, and sometimes it is spiritual, cultural. And tonight, we have a remarkable thesis about what it is to be human. What kind of thinking equipment do we have? What is the nature of the human brain? I think it's about 10 to the 10th neurons. I could be mistaken about that. But how much of it is innovative and how much of it is hardwired from hard experiences of many aeons and epochs of ancestry? These questions become very important today because of the proliferation of technology, the proximity made possible by travel, the alteration of the earth because of the methods of extracting, consuming, and using energy, in particular fossil fuels, and the premature hazards of nuclear technology, and a global collection of very bright people have come together to present a rare kind of look. It's sort of like looking at it from the Ruhr Valley, looking at it from the Alps, from an altitude, a distance that goes beyond local politics and yet does a systems analysis of what happens to people and the planet economically, environmentally, socially, politically, and otherwise. This film that is executive produced by New York's own Martin Scorsese and directed by Matthew Roy and Harold Crooks is called Surviving Progress. What a concept. Surviving Progress. And it covers so many points that are exactly the kind of things that we think of here all the time on Earthwatch, the nature of the human brain, the crisis of consciousness that we collectively face, and the mythology of infinite progress, of infinite growth, the malpractice of the economy, the clear-cutting of forests, the unintended and unanticipated and unconcerned results of what may be a primitive drive within our cerebral constructs, but whose consequences are becoming ever more apparent. And all of these things, these subjects, global finance, third world trade, the international MFs, the depletion of the economy and the environment, a human population, mass consumption, and what does it cost to have in different parts of the world lifestyles with such great differentials between them? Surviving Progress, it is a brilliant film. It is in the spirit of this program, and I think the mission of this radio station and its parent Pacifica Radio Network. And in order for us to have these kinds of thoughts and the wide range of programs that you hear on this radio station, this public radio station, this non-commercial radio station, we are providing this brand new copy for you for a pledge, a tax-deductible donation to WBAI of $100. And like I said, it's a beautiful thing because at the rate of one penny per hour, you can guarantee that you will not be lonely in the next 365 and a quarter days, really 365.2422, I think it is. So now, as I mentioned, we are in the midst of moving, and this time, instead of a room full of happy, friendly, volunteer listeners like yourself, For the continuity of our fundraising, we have a pledge center. And here's the number for that pledge center. And I'm expecting a score or two of you to call in and get this so that we can continue in the spirit that you all have melded with listening, participating, and contributing and suggesting. The pledge number is area code 516-620-3602. Please make a note and call them up right now. Make a pledge. They tell us that they'll be able to indicate on computer when you do that. But at the moment, that seems not to be operative. So I really am extending my faith to you. Just as you so lovingly expressed your faith in me during recent times. Once again, the pledge number is area code 516-620-3602. That's Long Island, obviously. 516-620-3602. And for that pledge of a mere $100, that is tax deductible, you get a brand new copy cellophane sealed with Surviving Progress, one of the most brilliant and thoughtful movies ever. And here are some of the people that are featured in it. Let me see. Where is this? Oh, yes. Dr. Margaret Atwood. And she speaks about how nature is not an endless credit card. Let's see. Who else do we have here who are included in this film? Jane Goodall, the primatologist. And she says, we're apparently the most intellectual creature to walk on Earth, so how come this intellectual being is destroying its only home? Stephen Hawking, Dr. Stephen Hawking, who speaks with the same voice that I sometimes use on those WikiLeaks cables, says, we are entering an increasingly dangerous period of our history, but he says he's an optimist, which is really a statement of indescribable courage. Michael Hudson, an economist, and he assesses the mythology of progress. Let's see, Simon Johnson, formerly of the IMF, reveals that the bankers cannot stop themselves, and it is up to us to do that. And part of that is keeping this channel of clear communication open. With your call to support WBAI and get this film, Surviving Progress, for a pledge of $100 at 516-620-3602. And the sooner the better, because you're going to enter not a trance, but a state of heightened consciousness as you think about things in a way that you're not allowed to do on MSNBC, BS all the time, you know? CNN. The commercial channels are really just an orgy of back and forth between the alleged difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. Everything is kind of lurching from one moment to the next. And I'm so proud to be able to offer this film that really takes a meta view of what is going on. So let me give you a sample of what this film is about. It's called Surviving Progress, available for a pledge of $100 to tax-deductibly support WBAI and keep, you know, kind of keep the brain burning at a midnight hour. Area code 516-620-3602. Here now is the primary thesis of the film.
In defining progress, I think it's very important to make a distinction between good progress and bad progress. I mean, things progress in the sense that they change. Both in nature and in human society, there appears to be a clear trend towards increasing complexity as change proceeds. We tend to delude ourselves that these changes always result in improvements from the human point of view. We're now reaching a point at which technological progress and the increase in our economies and our numbers threaten the very existence of humanity.
We come in.
What is progress? I think that's too hard a question.
Think of the word progress.
And our flag is red, white, and blue, but our nation is rainbow.
Progress will not come easy, it will not come quick. But today, we had an opportunity to move forward.
Seems like we're stuck in this trap for the last 200 years since the Industrial Revolution, where we think progress is more of the same. Like, we should make our machines better and get more machines. But we've been doing that for 200 years, so doing more of that is not progress. We're, like, stuck in this, like a record.
Things that start out to seem like improvements or progress, these things are very seductive. It seems like there's no downside to these. But when they reach a certain scale, they turn out to be dead ends or traps. I came up with the term progress trap to define human behaviors that sort of seem to be good things, seem to be to provide benefits in the short term, but which ultimately lead to disaster because they're unsustainable. And one example would be going right back into the old Stone Age, the time of when our ancestors were hunting mammoths. They reached a point where their weaponry and their hunting techniques got so good that they destroyed hunting as a way of life throughout most of the world. The people who discovered how to kill two mammoths instead of one had made real progress. But the people who discovered that they could eat really well by driving a whole herd over a cliff and kill 200 at once had fallen into a progress trap. They'd made too much progress. Our physical bodies and our physical brains, as far as we can tell, have changed very little in the past 50,000 years. We've only been living in civilization for the last 5,000 years at the most, which is less than 0.2% of our evolutionary history. So the other 99.8, we were hunters and gatherers, and that is the kind of way of life that made us. We are essentially the same people as those Stone Age hunters. What makes our way of life different from theirs is culture has taken off at an exponential rate and has really become completely detached from the pace of natural evolution. So we are running 21st century software, our knowledge, on hardware that hasn't been upgraded for 50,000 years. And this lies at the core of many of our problems. All of this is because our human nature is back in the hunting-gathering era of the old Stone Age, whereas our knowledge and our technology, in other words, our ability to do both good and harm, to ourselves and to the world in general, has grown out of all proportion.
One thing to remember, of course, about the human mind is that it's not that fundamentally different from, say, the brain of a chimpanzee. Most of the human brain, the basic structure of the brain, is much older than the human species. Some of it goes back to bacteria, some of it goes back to worms, some of it originated in the first mammal, some of it in the first primates, some of it in the first human beings. Very little of it, however, changed in the last 50,000 years. And so most of what we do with hardware components that are much older than any of the problems that we face.
Wow. Okay, you see the level this is coming from? That is an excerpt from the film Surviving Progress, and it is directed by Daniel Lewis, and I'm produced by Daniel Lewis, Denise Robert, and Martin Scorsese, and directed by Matthew Roy and Harold Crooks, and it includes some of the deepest thinkers on this planet today about what is happening to the planet and what it is about the acquisitive nature of the human brain that results in consequences in society and economy that ends up being destructive not only to humans, but to the very resource base that is this unique planet Earth. Do you like what was said about a progress trap? You know, you can kill a buffalo, but if you learn how to kill 200 of them, you eat good for a minute. And this film unfolds to address how that is happening on a global level, on a national, economic, political, environmental level. It is a brilliant film, and it is right in tune with Earthwatch. And now we're pausing for just a moment for another half dozen or so of you, so I hope, to call area code 516-620-3602. I've got more standing by for you right now. But it's my incumbency to remind you that this is a non-commercial public radio station that depends exclusively on your kindness and generosity and faith that we will be here each time you need us in a moment of crisis or of inspiration or indulgence, for that matter. 516-620-3602. This is the first few days that we have a new pledge system. Folks out on Long Island are taking your pledges, and the reports or the data, and y'all better do right by Earthwatch tonight, will be available, I suppose, at some future time. But I really want you to vote for the ability to think this way, not in a wishy-washy, new-agey way, but as a systems analyst. And part of that analysis involves understanding what is going on with the human brain. And let me also point out to you that this film is beautiful to watch. It is so beautiful. There are time-lapse sequences of sprawling urban construction. Somebody must have had a camera in a fixed location over a period of years for some of the scenes you see in here. Reminds me a little bit of but on a more, even more ambitious level of Koyaanisqatsi, the film with the, I think Peter, Philip Glass did the soundtrack for that. It experimented with distortions of time and space in a cinematic vein. This film does this too, but it also has the intellectual, the analytic underpinning that might help us think and do differently before we destroy ourselves, and the thing that we live on, which is the planet Earth. This is Earthwatch. My name is Robert Knight, and there's an amazing story that came out today that has to do with the way that the human brain works. I want to share that with you, but while it's still early in the program, I need you to join us for a pledge of $100 to get your own copy. You know, it's not the same thing as watching it on your computer, all right? It's a beautiful film, and you need, you know, full-screen visuals and audio. It's simply amazing. Surviving Progress, for a pledge on behalf of WBAI, during the time of Earth Watch, and for all of us here, and you at home, who need us here, and who are a part of molding our thoughts and initiatives. The number is 516-620-3602. Won't a few more of you join us? And this is a great leap of faith, because I do not have the immediate feedback. And as a broadcast artist, that's kind of an important thing, because when we have the facilities where our volunteers can be on site and we can hear the phones ringing, you kind of provide us with a psychic feedback. Well, actually, not merely psychic, it's also acoustic, and it tells us how well we are connecting. Flying blind tonight, because mad is the captain from Alpha Centauri. We must be out of our minds. 516-620-3602. Now, here's another sample from the film. And when we come back, we'll talk about a current news story that I think has some implications for this wonderful film, For a Pledge of $100, Surviving Progress, 516-620-3602. You're tuned to WBAI. Here's more of Surviving Progress. You're going to love it, and it is going to challenge and embiggen your thinking and social morality. Here it is.
Arguably, we are the most intellectual creature that's ever walked on planet Earth.
Jane Goodall.
So how come, then, that this so intellectual being is destroying its only home? Because we only have the one home. Maybe one day people will be on Mars, but for the moment we've got planet Earth. And we are destroying, we are polluting, we are damaging the future of our own species, which is very counterproductive from an evolutionary perspective.
This capacity that seems so wonderful to us, the ability to ask why, the very ability that undergirds modern science as a double-edged sword. If humans go extinct on this planet, I think what's going to be our epitaph on our gravestone is why.
I'm getting a light drive in this machine. Think I overdid that one.
Yeah, it went clean out of sight.
Oh, you think you're so clever. Okay.
We have the ability to think into the future, but most of our mechanisms, most of our brain mechanisms, evolved before we had any ability to think forward to the future. And when it made some sense for decisions to be short-term. And so a lot of our brain mechanisms, what I call our ancestral mechanisms or our reflexive mechanisms, are tuned to making snap decisions right away, like fight or flight. You see the lion, either you're going to fight or you're going to run. No time to think about, you know, the long-term consequences. And that's good when we're stressed about something immediate that we can deal with, for example. But those very systems that work by reflex are not so good at cooperating with these more modern systems, the deliberative systems that allow us to make long-term decisions and say, well, is this good for me? Is it good for my society, for my planet?
Between the fall of the Roman Empire and Columbus sailing, it took 13 centuries to add 200 million people to the world's population. Now it takes only 3 years. A simple thing like pasteurization, the warming of milk so that the bacteria are killed, and the control of smallpox, things like that have led to a great boom in human numbers. So overpopulation, which nobody really wants to talk about because it cuts at things like religious beliefs and the freedom of the individual and the autonomy of the family and so forth, is something that we're going to have to deal with. We probably have to work towards a much smaller worldwide population than 6 or 7 billion. We probably need to go down to a half that, or possibly even a third of that, if everybody is going to live comfortably and decently. The other side of this problem, and perhaps the more dangerous side, is the footprint of the individuals at the top of the social pyramid who are consuming the most. Somebody in the United States or Europe is consuming about 50 times more resources than a poor person in a place like Bangladesh.
This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. And that is an indication of just the very beginning of where this film is going. Surviving Progress. So proud to be able to offer that tonight for a pledge of $100. And we don't have live feedback, but we have a need for you to call and get it at 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. That is our new satellite location of pledge phoning in. 516-620-3602. We must iron while the stroke is hot. 516-620-3602. And we're offering for a pledge of what amounts to a penny per hour for the next year of WBAI, a pledge of $100, the brand new film Surviving Progress, and we are very proud here at Earthwatch to have a film that speaks about these things in a practical way, and that is so important. Now, part of the film, the thesis of it is that is there a problem with the hunter-gathering hardwired survival legacy of hunger and greed that transmutes into the conduct of the economy, of the military, of society, of tribalism? 516-620-3602. Come in and vote during this episode of Earthwatch. The film features Stephen Hawking and so many great thinkers. I named some of them earlier. And I'm fascinated. I mean, this came at exactly the right time, Surviving Progress. Because we have to think about how we think. In, you know, part of the thesis of the film is that the past couple of centuries have been tantamount to an anomaly in human progress, the industrialization of the planet, the release of the fossil fuels, the wars and destructions and ethnocides that take place because of the desire for it, just like the caveman learning how to run 200 buffalo off a cliff. And it seems to me related to the question of, it's not that we have such a dearth of information. We've got lots of information available to us. But it comes to us with a proliferation of noise. I challenge you to try to make any meaningful sense out of any commercial news broadcast available in America today. Because you're interrupted with commercials. Because it is still a classicist, white, male-dominated system, even though there are female faces in the mix. It is hagiography of political potentates of small vision and great greed. And even the so-called liberal outlets have become unwatchable because of their betrayal of principles out of the reverse racist refusal to criticize one of the most war-making presidents we've ever had. One of the most anti-constitutional presidents we've ever had. So this film has me thinking that the noisy proliferation of information is not equivalent to intelligence. Look at all of the preoccupied people you see on the bus, in the subway sidewalks, and throughout the world, doing tiny little thumb and finger taps on their so-called smartphones. Well, between the two, which one do you think is smarter? Because that phone is keeping track of you. And you don't know it, so the phone knows more about you than you do about it. Is there something intrinsic to the human brain? I can't believe we fell for that. The information you get is filtered through corporations, and standing at a moment's threat to be cut off by the internet controllers, and even as you do anything, it is being logged and documented and warehoused in Utah by the National Security Agency. So the availability of information technology is not indicative of intelligence. Which brings us to that news item I mentioned. I knew this day would be coming. Some study, I don't remember who did it, found out that 2/3 of the people who use that damn Facebook have either stopped or drastically reduced their involvement in it. Because they say it's too much trouble, it's too nosy, and the content you get on it ain't really that interesting. Okay? We're watching the various commercial enterprises of interconnectivity and the internet and telephony and all of that. It's like a sugar high. Well, you know, I've got my BlackBerry, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, man, well, check me out on Facebook. You know, I took part in a major political rally yesterday. Yeah, I clicked in on it. I liked it. And what has happened is that Obama has hypnotized us. The media has been part of the amen corner for that. And we have been channeled into thinking that a digital fabrication is the same thing as organizing, talking to people, loving, feeling, and sweating and bleeding with them. That's why Occupy died. That's why there's no civil rights protests. That's why people of left and right are not coming together to defend, preserve, and protect the U.S. Constitution under some of the most illegal things. No, they say, well, it's great to have a black man in office. Well, which one? Get along, go along. Oh, great compromise. Well, you know, for those who work hard and play by the rules. Yeah. Who is this, Nixon or Obama? Oh, yeah, well. So, 2/3 of Facebook users are pretty much dropping out. And there may be another current in the digital realm. Twitter? A lot of people are switching, what is it, Instagram? But all these are just today's ingenue. Anybody remember America Online? These are just fads, all right? And there is something we need to get to about the basic makeup and operation of the human mentality. And that is what this film addresses. It is called Surviving Progress. And I want you to have it. I want us to talk about it in future weeks here at WBAI. Here. And it's available for a pledge of $100 to our new pledge number at 516-620-3602. I cannot emote on the instantaneousness of your response, but I'm hoping that you're doing that. I'm counting on you. 516-620-3602. Here are some of the comments from the reviews of it. The documentary starts by explaining how human nature is not designed to deal with the complexity of 21st century life. As the movie progresses, it goes in more and more situations of how today's civilization, mainly the rich countries, is on a course to destroy our environment, which may very well bring the end to this civilization. Here's another. The film contains the idea that the past 200 or so years has been a great experiment. Beginning with the Industrial Revolution, humans have a natural curiosity and a desire for improving things that separate them from the rest of the animal realm. Therefore, to make things better, bigger, faster, reduce the mortality rate and so on, there are unforeseen consequences. And this film tries to help us think about that. And by thinking about it, we know better and we do better. And by doing better, we affect other people in real life, not on a goddamn Facebook, not on an asynchronous, antiseptic, non-human contact illusion. Illusion of community. You know, it is not easy to maintain a website or whatever the latest commercial product page is. It takes maybe as much as a dozen more human hours to keep a website going than anybody realizes. That's why so many of them become ghost sites. So we've got to get back to fundamentals. And this film, Surviving Progress, helps us do that. Here's another review comment. A well-made documentary showing the basic problem of a planet over 7 billion people using the limited resources available. It's informative and it uses interviews and some excellent photography. That's true. You can't see it on the radio, but it delivers a well-formed message. It speaks about monkeys playing with Legos, human children, and problem solving. A segment dealing with the destruction of the rainforest is disheartening as environmental officers struggle in vain against both workers just trying to make a living as well as the multinational corporations that fuel the destruction, deforestation, and murders. Like in Nigeria with the oil. It's a simple and basic story, and it looks as if we're already past the point of no return. Well, maybe not. Maybe if we think about it. The film is Surviving Progress. I'm going to take another moment to incentivize you to call our pledge number and get it for $100, ready to roll, Surviving Progress, 516-620-3602. Directed by Daniel Lewis, directed by Matthew Roy and Harold Crooks, produced by Daniel Lewis, Denise Robert, and Martin Scorsese. So come on, be a good fella. Huh? Hey, come on. The guy lives downtown. Don't leave us hanging, eh? 516-620-3602. For WBAI, for Earthwatch, and the entire community of consciousness here at this unique radio station. We don't intend to be an AOL or a Facebook or a tweet. Oh, no. We want to sing our song loud and strong. 516-620-3602. Call and pledge and leave us a happy note in the morning or whenever the returns come in, huh? 516-620-3602. And here we're going to go a bit deeper into the consequences of the old human brain, and the new possibilities. And we'll be looking at how that metavision, that higher view, brings insight into how political systems and economic systems and banks and infinite avarice work to the detriment of us all. You see, we're still that caveman trying to drive buffaloes over the cliff in what the producers of this film refer to as the progress trap. So can I put you on your honor? Put you on your honor to call, and you can make a pledge of any amount you want at 516-620-3602. And our featured incentive tonight is the film Surviving Progress, a tremendous, it's got all kinds of awards and cinematic showcases, you know, like everything from film festivals around the world. And I really do recommend it as an aid to thought and an incentive towards a genuine civilization. So now, won't you please make that call, 516-620-3602. And this is a lengthier cut, but I do believe that you can handle the intellectual depth, because this is, after all, Earthwatch. My name is Robert Knight. You're tuned to WBAI in New York. And to keep this kind of innovative radio and the full spectrum that we collectively present to you, we need you to support us, because you're our only means of income. 516-620-3602. And if during this segment you hear something that blows your mind, it is your responsibility to call up and support us. 516-620-3602. Get the film Surviving Progress, or become a BAI buddy, or donate whatever you can. Let's give them a nice surprise in the morning. 516-620-3602. And here now, an excerpt from Surviving Progress that touches on real-world echo dynamics and econometric dynamics.
Some people have written about natural capital, the capital that nature provides, which is the clean air, the clean water, the uncut forests, the rich farmland, and the minerals, the oil, the metals. All of these things are the capital that nature has provided. And until about 1980, human civilization was able to live on what we might term the interest of that capital, the surplus that nature is able to produce, the food that farmland can grow without actually degrading the farmland, or the number of fish you can pull out of the sea without causing the fish stocks to crash. But since 1980, we've been using more than the interest. And so we are, in effect, like somebody who thinks he's rich because he's spending the money that has been left in his inheritance. Not spending the interest, but eating into the capital.
The last time I visited the New York Stock Exchange was in 1980, and the mood sure was different then. Government, with its high taxes, excessive spending, and overregulation, had thrown a wrench in the works of our free markets. With tax reform and budget control, our economy will be free to expand to its full potential, driving the bears back into permanent hibernation. That's our economic program for the next 4 years. We're going to turn the bull loose.
The world is this big. It's not this big, and it can't be this big. It's just this big. It's a finite sum. Instead of thinking that nature is this huge bank that we can just, this endless credit card that we can just keep drawing on, we have to think about the finite nature of that planet and how to keep it alive so that we too may remain alive. Unless we conserve the planet, there isn't going to be any the economy.
The Ice Age hunter is still us. It's still in us. Those ancient hunters who thought that there would always be another herd of mammoth over the next hill shared the optimism of the stock trader that there's always going to be another big killing on the stock market in the next week or two.
Get your bets down, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Step right up. Oh.
If you're watching the Earth, say, over the last 5 or 6 thousand years, and you're speeding up your film, what you see is civilizations breaking out like forest fires in one pristine environment after another. And after a civilization has arisen and sort of burned out the natural resources in that area, then it dies down and another fire breaks out somewhere else. And now, of course, we have one huge civilization all around the world, which we have to confront the possibility that the entire experiment of civilization is in itself a progress trap.
The Dow plunged more than 500 points yesterday.
It was the biggest Dow decline ever.
La crise financière américaine.
Aún en el resto de las principales bolsas
europeas. And our economy seemingly on the brink of collapse.
Registran caídas en torno.
KPCX have been ignoring that while banks have failed and shares have plummeted, the effects are working their way down to all of us.
The economy will get worse before it gets better.
Credit rating down.
En el último año.
When will the economy turn around?
Yes.
I'm not an economist, but I do believe that we're growing. And I can remember, you know, this press conference here, be people yelling recession this, recession that, as if you're economists. And I'm an optimist. You know, I believe there's a lot of positive things for our economy.
Faith in progress has become a kind of religious faith, a sort of fundamentalism, rather like the market fundamentalism that has just recently crashed and burned. The idea that you can let markets rip is a delusion, just as the idea that you can let technology rip and it will solve the problems created by itself in a slightly earlier phase. You know, that has become a belief very similar to the religious delusions that caused some societies to crash and burn in the past.
Written records go back about 4,000 years. And from 2000 BC to the time of Jesus, it was normal for all of the countries in the world to periodically cancel the debts when they became too large to pay. So you have Sumer, Babylonia, Egypt, other regions, all proclaiming these debt cancellations, and the effect was to make a clean slate so that society would begin all over again. This was easy to do in a society where most debts were owed to the state. It became much harder to do when enterprise and credit passed out of the hands of the state into private hands and into the hands of an oligarchy. And the last thing they wanted was to have a king that would actually cancel the debts and restore equality. Rome was the first country of the world not to cancel the debts. It went to war in Sparta, in Greece, to overthrow the governments and the kings that wanted to cancel the debts. The wars of the first century BC ended up stripping these countries of everything they had. Not only did it strip the temples of gold, it stripped the public buildings, it stripped the economies of their reproductive capacity, it stripped them of their waterworks, it made a desert out of the land. And it said, a debt is a debt.
The collapse seems to have been closely linked to ecological devastation, which led to all sorts of social and economic and military problems. In the early stages of the Roman Republic, you had a fairly egalitarian landowning system. The peasants had access to public land. But as the Roman state became more powerful and the lords and the generals began to appropriate public land for their own private estates, more and more peasants became landless. At the same time, erosion was a serious problem, so bad that some of the Roman ports silted up with all the topsoil that got washed down from the fields into the river. and archaeologists have been able to establish how badly degraded much of Italy was by the fall of the Roman Empire, and how it took 1,000 years of much reduced population during the Middle Ages for fertility in Italy to rebuild.
What was absolutely new in the Roman Empire was irreversible concentration of wealth at the top of the economic pyramid, and that's what progress has meant ever since. Progress has meant you will never get back what we take from you. That's what brought on the Dark Age, and it's what's threatened to bring in the Dark Age again if society doesn't realize that if it lets the wealth concentrate in the hand of a financial class, this class is not going to be any more intelligent and long-term in disposing of the wealth than its predecessors were in Rome or in other countries.
Well, the term oligarchy obviously sounds a little esoteric. It just means a small group of people have got a lot of political power based on their economic power. We like to think of the United States as being much more democratic, much more spread out in terms of who has the power. And oligarchy is something that's usually associated with relatively poor countries, but that view has to be updated because we've got an essential part of that problem, that structure, in the United States today. People who got all this economic power were in the financial sector. It was Wall Street, if I can use that shorthand expression. Wall Street became really powerful. They used that power to buy influence in Washington, get more deregulation, so to get more of the playing field shaped in the way they wanted, which was no government intervention, no restrictions on what they were going to do. That enabled them to make a lot more money, which brought them more political power, and this went on for a considerable period of time until, of course, there was an enormous crash.
But basically, you come to us today on your bicycles after buying Girl Scout cookies and helping out Mother Teresa, telling us we're sorry, we didn't mean it, we won't do it again. Trust us. Well, I have some people in my constituency that actually robbed some of your banks. And they say the same thing. They're sorry, they didn't mean it, they won't do it again. Just let them out. Do you understand that this is a little difficult for most of my constituents to take? That you learned your lesson?
The bankers can't stop themselves. It's in their DNA, in the DNA of their organizations, to take massive risks, to pay themselves ridiculous salaries, and to collapse. And that the more that reasonable, responsible people of the center, and the left and the right, see this, the closer we'll get to finally constraining the power of these out-of-control financial oligarchs.
Is that deep or what? An excerpt from the film Surviving Progress, Our Incentive. At this time, it is the top of the hour. You're tuned to Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. And we're offering this film a brand new tour de force for a pledge of $100, tax deductible, for keeping WBAI going for the next year. 516-620-3602. And that is our new pledge call center. And we are taking the leap of faith that you will leap to your telephone and say, yeah, this is something that liberates thinking. This is really good bleep, Mrs. Preske. 516-620-3602. Please make that move now, because I've got such fine examples of the level of craft and thought, and it is a beautiful thing visually to watch. The film asserts that every time history repeats itself, the price goes up. The story of human advancement as awe-inspiring and double-edged, revealing the grave risk of running the 21st century software on the ancient hardware of our primate brain, which has not been upgraded in 50,000 years.
Speak for yourself, John Alden.
With rich imagery and immersive soundtrack, filmmakers Matthew Roy and Harold Crooks launch us on a journey to contemplate our evolution from cave dwellers to space explorers. Ronald Wright, whose best seller, a short history of progress, inspired this film, reveals how civilizations are repeatedly destroyed by progress traps. I love that phrase. Alluring technologies that serve immediate needs but ransom the future. With intersecting stories from a Chinese car-driving club, a Wall Street insider who exposes an out-of-control, environmentally rapacious financial elite, and eco cops defending a scorched Amazon, the film lays stark evidence before us. In the past, we could use up a region's resources and move on, but if today's global civilization collapses from overconsumption, that's it. There is no backup planet. Maybe a cup of water on Mars, but this is it. Surviving progress brings us thinkers who have probed our primate past, our brains, and our societies. Some amplify Wright's urgent warning, while others have faith that the very progress which has put us in jeopardy is also the key to salvation. Cosmologist Stephen Hawking looks to homes on other planets. Biologist Craig Venter, whose team decoded the human genome, designed synthetic organisms that he hopes will create artificial food and fuel for us all. These are just some of the concepts in the film, and I'd like to play you another excerpt, but I need some of you to call now at 212. You see what they mean about how the brain gets hardwired? That was an example of my having a constant instead of a variable or an indirect reference in my brain to the actual pledge number, which is now 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Please call now and leave a good mark on the record for Earthwatch and for you as a free new thinker. 516-620-3602. Surviving progress. It is just so simpatico with the kind of thought, the level of thought that we aspire to here on Earthwatch with all of you intelligent people who have made this show the flagship of fundraising in this time period. And I hope that you will maintain that tradition for the good of the station and for the good of us all, so that everybody here can broadcast and take us to new places, new faces, and new phases of thought. 516-620-3602, $100 pledge gets you Surviving Progress. You could also become a BAI buddy, become a friend of Earthwatch. You could make that kind of a pledge too, or a tax-deductible pledge of whatever amount you are comfortable with, and you can do installment plans and all of that stuff. But it's important that you do call 516-620-3602. And I'd like to continue with the theme about the rapacious banking and econometrics that result in the burning of the planet. And this gets like some real specificity about the international MFs and the selling of third world resources and the privatizing of collective treasures. This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. You're tuned to WBAI New York, and we're offering you the brilliant new film, Surviving Progress, for a pledge of $100 to our new pledge center at 516-620-3602. And here now is more along these lines of thought. This is new thinking, but it's not like wobbly, you know, unspecific visionaryism. It is something that can change you and that enables you to change the world. So I heartily endorse the film and your support for the station and obtaining the film with a call to 516-620-3602. Enough said for the intelligent, huh? Give us a call, 516-620-3602. Here's more. I want to keep the train of thought going about the habituation of progress, the right half poles of the S-plane, the complex numbers that indicate that infinite growth is unsustainable, but intelligent growth is essential. This is Earthwatch. Here's more from Surviving Progress.
I read scrawled on a wall somewhere that every time history repeats itself, the price goes up. If you look at the increasing complexity of civilization, what you can see towards the end of the classic Maya period is the enormous amount of effort being put in to build palaces and temple precincts that are controlled entirely by the nobility and from which one imagines the peasantry was excluded, just as the ordinary folk are excluded from gated communities in many countries today. And one imagines also that therefore the people at the bottom were becoming more and more disenchanted with the rulers as they felt that the social contract that had once existed, that the rulers were kind of the mediators between the gods and themselves and would help them get good weather and good crops and all of that, as they saw that beginning to break down and the rulers in effect losing touch with the people whom they claim to represent. It is a pattern I think we can see a lot in the modern world now.
Every society in history for the last 4,000 years has found that the debts grow more rapidly than people can pay. And the problem is a small oligarchy of 10% of the population at the top to whom all of these net debts are owed to. You want to annul the debts to the top 10%. That's what they're not going to do. The oligarchy is running things. They would rather annul the bottom 90% right to live than to annul the money that's due to them. They would rather strip the planet and shrink the population and be paid rather than give up their claims. That's the political fight of the 21st century.
Well, my job on Wall Street was to be balance of payments economist for the Chase Manhattan Bank in the 1960s. My first job there was to calculate how much debt could third world countries pay. And the answer was, well, how much do they earn? And whatever they earn, that's what they can afford to pay in interest. And our objective was to take the entire earnings of a third world country and say, ideally, that would be all paid as interest to us.
Look, don't give me a hard luck story. I hear them every day, and quite frankly, they bore me. The facts are simple. In 1973, this bank gave you a loan, and you still haven't paid it back. Admittedly, you paid back the initial sum, but not the interest, which to date amounts to 9 times the amount originally borrowed. 9 times. So you better get your act together. Times are tough, and we're all having to clamp down. And don't look at me like that. This is a bank, not a charity.
The number one cost for foreign lending through some of the multilateral institutions such as IMF and World Bank is the death toll on the continent. We can look at the support of dictators that took place 30 years ago, from 1960 till 1997 of a brutal dictator.
Moi. Mobutu Sese Seko Kukumbendu Wazabanga. Je jure d'observer la constitution et les lois du Zaïre.
He was given humongous loans. Everyone knew he wasn't using that for the population. He was propped up as one of the biggest leaders in the whole African continent.
While your country is young, only 10 years of age, that it has had a period of progress in that period, which has been an example for nations throughout the world. You have moved forward economically. You have established unity in your country. And you have a vitality which impresses every visitor when he comes to Congo.
What is interesting is all the money plundered from all the international debt is found in Western banks. So as he was removed from power, the money never returned to the Congolese. The population didn't have access to medical services, didn't have access to adequate education, living wage. And it continued till today. Now the Congo has a $14 billion debt. It's been structured in a way where the people do not benefit and the human cost is so high. You know, in the Congo, we have 6 million deaths since 1996.
Rich countries lend a so-called developing country a big whack of money. Debt is incurred on behalf of people who have nothing to do with it, don't know anything about it. Then they're expected to pay the price by scraping off their livelihood, turning it into money, and giving it to somebody else.
How could the money given to the Congo benefit to the people? Use some of the funds to make sure that there are strong institutions within the country that will protect against human rights violation and so many other issues that we face. But these funds are not used for that because whenever it's given, they tell you specifically what project you have to use it for. And mainly, it's usually mining projects to get access to resources.
No jornal, aí eu sempre paro pra ver. É, sempre estão desmatando a Amazônia. Eu não entendo por que eles querem isso. Então, eles estão se prejudicando, eles mesmos que estão se desmatando. Como o Diogo falou, os animais...
interesses o quê? Interesses...
econômicos?
You can relate the destruction of the rainforest in Brazil directly to the Wall Street and London financial sector. The story begins in 1982, when countries couldn't pay their debt anymore. And the result is that the Latin American countries generally stopped paying because they said, we're already paying all of the balance of payments surplus we have to the banks. We don't have any money to import to sustain living standards. We don't have money to import to build new factories and to pay the debt. So the International Monetary Fund at that point said, don't go bankrupt. You have an option. You can begin to sell off the public domain. You have plenty of assets to sell to pay us. You can sell off your water rights, your forests, your subsoil mineral resources. You can sell us your oil rights. And so Brazil, Argentina, and other countries began to sell off their resources to private investors. And the private investors bought these resources on credit.
A sample from the great new film, Surviving Progress, available for a pledge of $100 to keep this non-commercial, anti-corporate, listener-sponsored radio station going. This is WBAI in New York. You're listening to a special edition of Earthwatch. My name is Robert Knight, and I'm going to skip one of the things I planned for you to go to an epiphany of what we might well be thinking about in terms of survival, future, community, comity. This is a film that goes from, in alphabetical order, America to Bangladesh to Brazil to China to the Congo, and that's just the beginning of the alphabet. The number to call is 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. And we are, taking your virtual pledges. We need your support. I think anyone who listens to this program knows how important such a channel is. So please do us right and give us a call at 516-620-3602 to support WBA. I'm going to try and squeeze this in because I really think it's worth hearing. So here we go, a bit more from Surviving Progress. You're available, the brand new DVD with extra features and all that stuff. For a pledge of $100, 516-620-3602.
I think the problems that we're seeing now, whether we're talking about hunger and massive inequity, whether we're talking about climate change or the loss of biodiversity, have been driven over the last 200 years by a system of overproduction of stuff and overconsumption of stuff. And then that's been inflated and inflated and inflated to the point where it really is not in any way reasonable. The companies and those within governments who have supported that approach are now saying that they will provide new technologies to continue that consumption of stuff, that level of production. It's just not realistic.
ExxonMobil and Synthetic Genomics have built a new facility to identify the most productive strains of algae. Algae are amazing little critters. They secrete oil, which we could turn into biofuels. They also absorb CO2. We're hoping to supplement the fuels that we use in our vehicles to someday help meet the world's energy demands.
Which is harder, mapping the entire genome set that makes up a human being or making algae produce energy?
Well, making algae produce energy is not hard, but doing it on the scale required to have a major economic and environmental impact is going to be a huge challenge. But we have good partner with ExxonMobil to try and get it to the scale that it needs to be of billions of gallons a year. A lot of engineering is required for facilities the size of San Francisco.
Goodness.
I think they're serious and we're serious.
What we're seeing alongside the development of synthetic biology is a massive corporate grab on plant life. Literally speaking, that means a grab on land and a grab on seas as well, where people are being moved off of land to make way for the growing of plant life that can be transformed into plastics, chemicals, fuels, and so forth. What drives synthetic biology is not an attempt to save the planet or help humanity, but an attempt to increase the bottom line for certain very large corporations.
If we're going to feed the upcoming 9 billion people, we can't afford to use our prime cropland for the trying to produce the billions of gallons of fuel that we use. What we're doing with writing the genetic code, changing these species, allows us to use desert land for we just need sunlight and CO2 for using these new engineered algae, for example.
Synthetic biology, in a way, you know, it's frightening, but I'm very sympathetic to this in many ways, that it would be nice to get a more water-efficient plant, but still, it would still need water. Greg Winter cannot create a plant which needs no water and no nitrogen, or which totally fixes all its nitrogen by sucking it from the air. You know, it cannot go that far. This doesn't fundamentally change the game. What fundamentally changes the game, and what people don't want to hear, and I'm coming to this all the time, and people say, you know, don't talk to us like that because just is a no starter. But for me, this is the only starter. We have to use less. The poor people need more. There is no doubt about it. There is no discussion there. Right? If you are average villager somewhere in Rajasthan or Punjab or Nigeria, you need more, period. There's a basic human decency compels you to say these people need more, more clean water, more basic food, more education for their children. The discussion closed right before it begins. Right? But as far as us is concerned, we certainly could and should do with much, much, much less. People have been conditioned that things have to always go better. And immediately as you say, limit something, people think this is not getting better. But it would be. It's even a non-starter saying, people, you should eat less. You should eat less meat, right? That's a non-starter, right? You should use less electricity, right? You should build smaller cars. The other day I saw the vice president of GM talking about the new GM, right? And one of these journalists asked him rightly, you know, but your cars are still so heavy. And he says, yes, we are working on it. What is there to work on it, right? There are so many things which we could do, you know, not to surrender our standard of living, not to kind of live in a gutter, really, right? You know, but we don't need 1.5-ton car to go from red light to red light in a city, really, right? People are not willing to go fall back on these things. Most of them simply are not, because they've been totally hijacked by this material culture. Let's not underestimate the persuasion, the power of this material culture is immense. It's just immense. When I've seen so many people being so genuinely unhappy that they cannot afford a 50,000 dollar bathroom remodeling, right? I mean, there's something wrong with that value set, right? You know, because bathroom is a place where you should spend like whatever 10 minutes to take your shower, brush your teeth, right? So it doesn't have to be worse. But you know how much money people are. So, again, on my mind, because we are thinking about redoing our bathroom, right? So it's on my mind. So it's very interesting. So for me, it's a chore because it has to be done, right? But for many people, it's kind of a life-affirming thing, you know. People are renting storage spaces, right, which they will never access in the next 20 years to store the junk which they cannot store in their 5,000 square foot homes, right? So do we need that, really? So it's just amazing. This is very difficult to put the genie in the bottle. So everything is defined in this material thing. I could make it a lot more coherent, but you see, this is difficult because when you make it a lot more coherent, you make it prescriptive. And prescriptions never work, really, because I don't have the solution. I can't sit here and say, you know, we should follow this, and by 2030, everything click, and we all live happily ever after, right? You know, so I'm making it deliberately uncoherent. I could be, you know, I could be very doctrinaire. But you see, I live for 26 years in a communist society. I'm inoculated against any doctrinaire grand solution saying, you know, this is the pattern, this is the master, this is the paradigm which you have to follow, you know. I'm just totally set against it. So I'm making things deliberately kind of, you know, messy, incoherent, uncoordinated, because that's how life is. We don't know what pattern will emerge. As long as we are living amidst of this sea of affluence and opportunities and material riches, it's just very difficult to make this individual voluntary resolute step and saying enough, back, limit. Very difficult.
Dos limites. Ainda que sejamos livres, nós somos livres para viver de acordo com a natureza que fomos criados. E não é possível defender modelos que não possam ser universalizados, porque senão nós teríamos que partir do princípio de que alguns têm direitos e outros não têm direitos. Logo, não é um problema de técnica, é um problema de ética.
The sounds of the earth are like music. This is Earth Watch.
I was walking around pointing my finger at everybody, and you people, and you know, blaming the culture for its consumption. And finally, one day, I came home, and I had the air conditioners were on, even though there was no one home. And I was like, wait, you know, I'm going around blaming everybody else, but the fact of the matter is that my lifestyle requires a huge amount of resource too. So how can I blame other people? And I realized that before I go around trying to change other people, maybe I should look at myself and change myself.
Wow. This is truly a transformative film we're offering you this day called Surviving Progress. I hope our samples have indicated to you the depth and scope and range of this wonderful film. And I see that the online listenership is at a great level for this time of day. And I hope that's indicative of your taking responsibility for supporting WBAI. Once more, the phone number is area code 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. And vote for a smarter planet, one with a longer lifespan than might have been expected. And that's kind of important, ain't it? 516-620-3602. And coming up right after this program is Jim Froyen with Hour of the Wolf. And we were commiserating about the lack of immediate feedback, but I have faith in you. And each time we come here is a great leap of faith. Intellect, morality, and consciousness, and learning, and teaching. And thank you for listening. And Here's a song about what we've been doing tonight, flying blind. This has been Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. Email rknight, R-K-N-I-G-H-T, at WBAI.org.
That is the captain of Alpha Centauri. We must be out of our minds. Though we are shipmates and bound for tomorrow, everyone here's flying blind. But we must believe in magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. 'Cause if you believe in magic, you have the universe at your command. Matt is a crew bound for Alpha Centauri. Dreamers and poets and clowns. But bold is the ship bound for Alpha Centauri, and nothing can turn it around. But we must believe in magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. 'Cause if you believe in magic, you have the universe at your command. We must believe in magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. 'Cause if you believe in magic, you have the universe at your command. We must believe in magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. 'Cause if you believe in magic, you have.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a Wednesday night, Thursday morning program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. Well, this morning we're going to imagine that you're going to help pledge and see if we can eke out a little bit more survival from this radio station. It'll be a tight one, but give it a whirl.
Her hair in the casement, his face burned like a brand. as a black cascade of perfume came tumbling over his breast, and he kissed its waves in the moonlight. Oh, sweet waves in the moonlight, he tugged at his rein in the moonlight and galloped away to the west. Gypsy's ribbon looping the purple board, a red-coat troop kept marching, marching, marching. King George's men came marching up to the olden door. They said no word to the landlord, they drank his ale instead, but they gagged his daughter and bound her to the foot of her narrow bed. Two of them the casement with muskets at the side. There was death at every window, hell at one dark window, for Bess could see through the casement the road he would ride. They tied her up to attention with many a sniggering jest. They had bound a musket beside her with a bow beneath the breast. Now keep good watch, and they kissed her. She heard the dead man say, look for me by the moonlight, watch for me by the moonlight, I'll come to thee by the moonlight, though hill should bar the way. She twisted her hands behind her with all the knots he could. She writhed her hands till her fingers were wet with sweat. They stretched and strained in the darkness, and the hours crawled by like years, till now on the stroke of midnight, called on the stroke of midnight, the tip of her finger touched it, the trigger at least was hers. Were they deaf, they did not hear. Down the ribbon of moonlight, over the brow of the hill, the highwayman came riding, riding, riding. The redcoats looked to the priming, she stood up straight and still. Toddle out in the frosty signs, toddle out in the echoing night. Nearer came and nearer, her face was like a light. Her eyes grew wide for a moment, she drew a last deep breath. Then her finger moved in the moonlight, her musket shot at the moonlight, shattered her breast in the moonlight, and wound him with her death. He turned his spur to the west, he did not know she stood, but with her head of the musket, drenched with her own red blood. Not till the dawn he heard it, his face grew gray to hear. Ah, Bess, the landlord's daughter, the landlord's black-eyed daughter, had watched for love in the moonlight and died in the darkness there. And back he sped like a madman, shrieking a curse to the sky, with a white road smoking behind him and his Arabia brandished high. Blood red were the spurs of the golden moon, wine red with his velvet coat,
this night, this sea, when the wind is in the trees, when the moon is a ghostly galleon tossed upon the cloudy seas, when the road is a ribbon of moonlight over the purple moon, a highwayman comes riding, riding, riding. A highwayman comes riding up to the old inn.